You're listening to the ESPN Radio 94.1 podcast page, accelerated by Sports Innovation X. Six is bridging the gap between tech, athletes, and teams. Check them out at sportsinnovationx.com.
The 757 is steeped in high school and college sports tradition. It's time to give local sports the spotlight it deserves every single night. It's the 757 at 6 on ESPN Radio 94.1.
Seven, five, seven, at six. At six, here on ESPN Radio, 941. 603 to be exact. I'm Tim Donnelly. Robbie Vogler here as well. Sports are, and more specifically, high-level sports, are a real test of your selfishness, right? Because, you know, if you're a backup, you see the starter get hurt. When does the selfishness kick in, right? When is it like, you know what? It's a bummer for your leg, bro, but I'm really going to enjoy this opportunity, right? It's that weird thing that athletes will never admit, but most backups probably are hoping for like a tweak. Nothing serious, nothing that's going to affect you long term, just something that gives me a month to show what I can do. So maybe an injury isn't even the only way, right? Misfortune might be the better way to put it. Because when Aaron Rodgers calls out all his young wide receivers, for making the same mistakes over and over, well, you know what? Let's just hear it from Aaron Rodgers.
It's good we do it in practice. So it's unfortunately some of the same guys. That's, you know, repeat mistakes are a problem. So we just got to clean those things up a little bit. The young guys, you know, they got to, especially young receivers, we got to be way more consistent. You know, a lot of drops, a lot of bad route decisions, run the wrong route. So we gotta get better in that area.
So when that happens, former ODU athlete thinks, ha ha, opportunity, right? While you know, I'm sure those young wide receivers, I don't know, parents, friends, high school coaches, buddies, neighbors are all like, oh man, that's such a rough day at the office. Aaron Rodgers called you out. Reportedly, those comments were yesterday for Aaron Rodgers. Reportedly today there was a quarterbacks and receivers meeting, right? Just no one wants to have meetings where you got to explain why you're not doing well, explain why you were called out. But again, a former ODU athlete maybe smells blood in the water. According to multiple reports, the Packers have claimed wide receiver Travis. I'm going to get through this, I promise you. According to multiple reports, the Packers have claimed wide receiver Travis Fulgham off of waivers. Where's my applause? I got through that sentence without talking over myself and tripping all over the place. Travis Fulgham, obviously an ODU legend, right? Going back to the days of the previous coaching regime. But probably best known for a month that he had with the Eagles in 2020, where literally over, I think it was a 5-week period, he was like the fourth best wide receiver in the entire NFL. The top looked like Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill, DeAndre Hopkins and Travis Fulgham of the best wide receivers over a month in the NFL. And then almost as quickly he disappeared. But what that experience gives him is, even though I believe he was a draft pick in 2019, let me double check this real quick. He was a sixth round draft pick, I believe, in 2019, maybe 2018. What that experience gives him is he packed a lot of life into his short NFL career, right? He's been at the top of the top. He's been at the bottom of the bottom. He's done all of that. Right, he's run routes in high leverage games. He's caught game winners. He's caught touchdowns. He's caught third downs. He's done a little bit of everything. So when he goes in to a situation where there's a bunch of young guys, even though he's also a young guy, but inexperienced guys might be the better term, he walks into that room, he's going to carry a different amount of kind of calluses, right? Scars. He's going to have been there before. If I'm Travis Fulgham, I think this is a huge opportunity. Matter of fact, if I'm really any wide receiver who's looking for something to dig my claws into, if I'm looking for somewhere where I can kind of get a foothold, the Packers might be one of the better spots. Just know that every rep is important, okay? Just as quickly as Aaron Rodgers criticizes them, he'll criticize you. But at the same time, there is I'll call it the sauce opportunity. I was listening to a podcast, and I think I may have referenced this on the Tim Donnelly show a couple days ago. Now I'm going to blank on his name. Who's the coach of Cincinnati, the Bearcats? He's the old Ohio State guy. Now, I want to say Ryan Day, but that's not it, and that's going to annoy the heck out of me. He's like a real football guy. He was Vrabel's old roommate at Ohio State when they were playing. I'm just saying all of
Luke
this. Luke Fickell. I was saying all of that so everyone would know. I know who it is. I just couldn't come up with the name. Luke Fickell. I was listening to a podcast with Luke Fickell, and they talked about Sauce Gardner, who was obviously the number four overall pick as a cornerback out of Cincinnati. And they talked about like, oh, did you know from the beginning he was a stud? He goes, no, he's actually the first year he wasn't even a starter. He was small. He was skinny. He told us his name was Sauce, but we were calling him whatever his actual name was. But against UCF, they run like 150 plays a game. So we needed to rotate players in to keep him fresh. And he was, you know, on the two or three deep, whatever. So he got a rotation. And he went in there, and his first series, he got like a PBU and gave up no catches. Pass breakup, gave up no catches. All right, we'll leave him in there for another series. Got an interception. All right, we'll leave him in there for another series. No catches. And then he's like, by the end of the game, it was like, you know, Sauce didn't come out. Like, once he put him in there, like, we weren't going to take him out on a heater. He just played the rest of the game. And from that point on, he was, you know, one of their lockdown corners, ended up being a top five pick in the NFL draft. I think there's that opportunity with the Packers right now. Travis Fulgham goes in. Aaron Rodgers is going to give you a shot because he doesn't have anyone established there in those spots, right? Randall Cobb's his best friend, but he plays out of the slot and he's older. Alan Lazard is probably the leader in the clubhouse to be the number one, but there's a lot of passes to go around in that offense. So you're going to get a shot. If you're Travis Fulgham, you're experienced, your eyes won't be wide and scared the moment won't be too big for you. Go in, run the right route, right? If he throws it to you and it's catchable, catch the ball. Fight for it, right? Pick up a first down. Make the right sight adjustment. And they'll probably look at each other and go, yeah, no, he did fine. Leave him in there. Make another catch. LaFleur's like, you want him in? Yeah, leave him in there. Right? If you just keep making plays, there's an opportunity with Green Bay. He was, let's say, like he was with Denver, so that they obviously made him available. If he went to, like, name another team, if he went to another contender, Tampa, if he went to KC, if he went to Buffalo, they'll put you in there in practice. You make a play. Great. Good job. Stephon, get back in there. Right? Great. Good job. Gabe Davis, get back in there. Way to go. Hey, man, you're really impressing us. Stephon, Gabe Davis, McKenzie, get back in there. There's not opportunities on every team, especially contenders, but there is in Green Bay. So if you're Travis Fulgham, no, it's a high wire act, right? You go in there, you make a mistake your first time, you might not get another shot. But if you go in there and make a play, there's nobody there that's a definite, right? You go in there and you dominate in practice, and Rodgers is saying, hey, you know, that's a guy that didn't make any mental mistakes. There's not going to be, hey, great job, we're impressed. Romeo Daub, get back in there. It's not going to happen. So you play like you did for that 5-week period in 2020 with the Eagles, which he's most known for, which we all watched. I was like, holy cow, what's going on here? I feel like even ODU people that knew him well were going like, this is pretty crazy. He's making contested catches all over the place. You get on a hot streak like that, it's a good place to be where you earn the trust of an all-time great quarterback. Is it a long shot? Probably, but I think it's less of a long shot than at just about every other team, especially every other contender. So check it out. Travis Fulgham claimed off waivers. I wonder if he was in the meeting. Probably not. So he didn't get the scolding. He's going to come in all positive vibes, you know, bebopping in there. Woohoo, let's go. Good vibes. Maybe a little pep in their step while the other receivers are going to have like tears in their eyes. Why is it got to be so mean?
Tell you this, you better not drop a pass.
I mean, if he drops one, he drops one, right? He claimed off waivers. He's playing with house money at this point, right? He has an opportunity here. I'm not sure that would be said for everywhere. And there's got to be an element of house money. I've seen this where I love the moment that a player kind of flips the switch and says like, bleep it. I'm not protecting an opportunity anymore. Protecting an opportunity is I don't think the best mindset to be in playing sports, right? It's to use a golf term, when you're out there and you're thinking bogey wins it, you're definitely hitting a double bogey. But if you're out there saying like, I think I could, you know, attack something here, maybe go for birdie. You know, if I miss, I can still save par. Then you definitely get at least bogey to win it. You know what I mean? You got to keep that mindset up. This is the 757-6 ESPN Radio 941. Follow us on Twitter at ESPN Radio 941. You can also follow me at Donnelly Sports. We'll be back after this with more.
Right here, right now. It's time to talk high school and college sports in the 757. It's the 757 at 6 on ESPN Radio 94.1.
757 at 6 here on ESPN Radio 941. I'm Tim Donnelly, Robbie Vogler, keeping us up and running as always. We're getting to the point in the college football calendar where some coaches will tell us, but a lot of coaches will, whether they tell us or not, settle their quarterback competitions. Who's going to be the starter, right? Which I say quarterback competitions because it's not as dramatic at other positions, right? Like, oh, we've now named our starting running back. Yeah, but our backup's going to get in on third down of the first series. So it's not the same, right? Quarterback is a bigger deal. Also, there's two teams that are going to play each other here in Hampton Roads September 2nd to open the season. It's going to be kind of a big game. It's ODU hosting Virginia Tech. And as of about 6 hours ago, they both had not named their starting quarterback. I think in both cases, there's ideas and hypothesis of this guy's leading, that guy's leading. Well, we don't have to do any of that questioning anymore when it comes to Virginia Tech. When the Hokies come to SB Ballard Stadium to take on ODU week one college football 2022 season, Grant Wells will be the starter. Brent Pry, their head coach, announced earlier today. Shout out to Andy Bitter of The Athletic, that's the tweet we saw, but it probably could have gone to a bunch of other beat reporters if we just happened to see your tweet first. But Grant Wells reportedly had come down to Jason Brown and Grant Wells to be the starter. They were the two transfers brought in by this coaching staff, which does go into the logic of coaches want their guy, right? Makes sense. What I will say is I like the move by Brent Pry. I think the writing has been on the wall for Grant Wells to be the starter, especially going back to the spring game. If you paid attention at all to the Virginia Tech spring game, it was one of the quarterbacks had a lot of passing yards, a lot of success. One of them had a little and not much. And Grant Wells was the one with a lot of success, right? He completed some deep strikes. He made the offense look dynamic. He was pretty good about it, right? He was pretty good about it. So, oh, did you put that in there so we give him credit as well? Mark Davis, we also saw that tweet. Is that what we're going at?
Yeah, and also he just played ODU last year.
Good point, because he was at Marshall. Didn't even think of that one. He was at Marshall. So we'll give you those stats here in a second. And again, credit to Mark Davis on Twitter for pointing that out. So Grant Wells is a transfer from Marshall. He is the starter for Virginia Tech. I like the move from Brent Pry because the writing was kind of on the wall. Like I said, Grant Wells played much better in the spring game. If it's one of those things that's a loosely kept secret, why keep the secret, right? It's like we're all just playing a little game here of why aren't you saying it? Why aren't we asking? You might as well just put it on Front Street, let him build his confidence, get all the questions out of the way now. So once you hit game week, you can focus on it being game week and not have to deal with any of those questions. So Virginia Tech has their starting quarterback, Grant Wells. Grant Wells, as you mentioned, Robbie did, he played ODU last year. I would say a tremendously high volume, middle of the road game. Looking at the his stats, 30 of 46. 46 is a ton of attempts. 30 completions is solid. 299 yards. Man, does he wish someone fought for that extra, that one more yak yard, one more yards after catch. Two touchdowns, two interceptions. I want to go back and see how the game played out. It was the Marshall game, obviously.
Marshall won 20-13.
Oh, that was a...
It was an overtime.
I was going to say that was a close one. And it was it was still the DJ Mack year. So they hadn't quite made the move over to Hayden Wolf. And the head coach of Marshall and the head coach, Ricky Ronnie, are very close. Coach Huff, I believe is his name. To the point where every time we bring up, because, you know, we talk about Brent Pry and Coach Ronnie had coached together at Penn State for a lot of years. And we brought that up and Coach Ronnie said, well, you know, Marshall's coach Huff and me are very good friends. We're just not very good friends that week. So let's paint this whole background here. Grant Wells, starting quarterback for Virginia Tech as of today, officially it's been announced by Brent Pry. Virginia Tech is playing ODU week one. Grant Wells played ODU last year and won while he was the starting quarterback at Marshall, which means Virginia Tech is probably going to look at him and say, like, what do you remember about ODU? Right? What stands out? What was part of your game plan? What worked? What didn't? What did you like? What didn't you? But at the same time, I wouldn't be surprised if Ricky Ronnie isn't sending a text to the coaching staff over at Marshall, who he's very close with, and is saying, what can you tell me about Grant Wells? Right? Does he handle the blitz well? Can we confuse him with disguises and scheme? Does he take chances? Like, what should we be ready for? Should we keep him in the pocket? Should we force him out of the pocket? What do we do? So there's going to be a lot of, like, friendships, connections in this one. And it's going to be interesting. And just for the record, since we did mention that both teams have not named a starting quarterback and Virginia Tech did today, I don't believe Old Dominion has. And Ricky Ronnie has told us, the head coach of ODU, you know, we can expect it right under the gun. Might not even tell us, right? So Virginia Tech is choosing for a September 2nd game after coming into camp with a quarterback competition to name their starter August 17th. ODU, similar situation, coming into camp with a quarterback competition, will likely tell us who their starter is when they tap them on the butt and say, get them, and they run out there to the huddle when they get the ball, right? Like, we'll know 15 minutes earlier who the starter is if the coin toss happens in a way that they get the ball first. Like, that's how late it's going to go. It's two different philosophies. And is there a right answer or a wrong answer? Probably not. It's all personal preference. My personal preference is always to name the starter as early as you can, but you know, we've seen it be successful otherwise. One of the years I was out in Hawaii, June Jones, who's one of the best coaches I remember, let it go when it was Colt Brennan and whoever he was competing with. It went like four games in. They were still like alternating series. And that ended up being one of the most accomplished statistical quarterbacks in the history of college football. So both ways can work out if you do it right. Thank you to Robbie for keeping us up and running. We'll be back tomorrow with more. Until then, have a great night, everybody. Enjoy your Wednesday.